ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय four lines. This one is only in 3 lines. So let's see. Bhagwan api manunaya yathavad upakalpita pachita. Bhagwan api manunaya yathavad upakalpita pachita. भगवान अपि मानुना यतावत् उपाकल्पिता पचितः प्रियवर्ता नारददा अश्वैवाम अभिकल्मा प्रियवर्ता नारद अभी समान्यः
extraordinary situated
parvatayam
Pravardhan.
Departing.
Departing.
Agman.
Agaman.
Return.
Return.
Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavarta and Narad also looked upon Brahma with no tinge of resentment. Having engaged Priyavarta in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. So we're going to repeat this translation by Prabhupada. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu. Who respectfully satisfied him?
As well as he could.
Priyavarta and Narada.
Priyavarta and Narada.
Also looked upon Brahma. With no tinge of resentment. Having engaged Priyavarta in accepting. His father's request. Lord Brahma returned to his abode.
Satyaloka.
Which is indescribable. By the endeavor of mundane. Minds or words. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Manu was certainly very satisfied that Lord Brahma had persuaded his son Priyavarta to take the responsibility for ruling the world. Priyavarta and Narada were also very satisfied. Although Brahma had forced Priyavarta to accept the management of all the affairs, thus breaking his vow to remain brahmachari and completely engage in devotional service, Narada and Priyavarta did not look upon Brahma with resentment. Narada was not at all sorry that he had been frustrated in making Priyavarta a disciple. Poor Priyavarta and Narada were exalted personalities who knew how to respect Lord Brahma. Therefore, instead of looking upon Brahma with resentment, they very feelingly offered him their respect. Lord Brahma then returned to his celestial abode known as Satyaloka, which is described here as being imperishable and being unapproachable by words. It is stated in the verse that Lord Brahma returned to his residence, which is as important as his own personality. Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe and the most exalted personality within it. His lifetime is described in Bhagavad Gita, Sastra Yuga Pranayatam Ahoyad Brahmano Vidu. The total duration of four yugas is 4.3 million years. And when that is multiplied by 1,000 times, it equals 12 hours in the life of Brahma. Therefore, we cannot actually comprehend each 12 hour of Brahma's life, to say nothing of 100 years that constitutes his entire lifetime. How then can we understand his abode? The Vedic literature describes that in Satyaloka there is no birth, death, old age and disease. In other words, since Satyaloka is situated next to Brahmaloka or the Brahman effulgence, it is almost as good as Vaikunthaloka. Lord Brahma's abode is practically indescribable from our present status. Therefore, it has been described as avam manasah guracha, or beyond the description of our words, the imagination of our minds. The Vedic literature thus describes the abode of Lord Brahma, yad vahi parvaha jidam tad upame shahitam na yatra asokaha na jara na mrityu na thir cho na chodhya. In Satyaloka, which is situated many millions of billions of years away, there is no limitation, nor is there old age, death, anxiety, or the influence of enemy. Om Ajnana Chitrandasya Janandana Shalakaya Chakshuru Niyantam Yena Tasmahi Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayamrupakadamayam Dadati Svayampadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurum Siddhapadakamlam Sri Gurum Svaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagna Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadhvaitam Sadhbhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagna Lalita Sri Krishna कांपितं तञ्च पञ्चकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपा सिन्धु एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमस्तुते। दत्तकंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदवनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस इज केंडो 5 चैप्टर 1 बेस टेक्स्ट 21 एंड we will read the translation once more. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectively satisfied him as well as he could. Trivarta and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinge of resentment. Having engaged Trivarta in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma retained to his abode Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of the mundane mind and words. So we can see that there is Narada Muni is there. Priyavarta is a male person, and one side is Manu, the father of Priyavarta. So he, Manu is basically one of his sevis is to increase the population of the planet. So he wants his son to get married, so that's the only way he can increase the planet, the population in the planet. So, but Narada Muni had other plans. Narada Muni is in charge of devotional service. He is the guru for that. And he doesn't want more people in the more population in the planet. He wants most of them to go back to Godhead. So he is telling Priyavarta, why waste your time into getting into married life? Because married life is a place where there is sense gratification. And the other three ashrams, we don't have that. Always there is a minimum amount of it. And he wanted him to remain a brahmacharya so that he can devote his life fully to Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. And Priyavarta also wanted the same thing. So, the guru is asking a disciple to do something and the father wants something else. So sometimes a third person has to come in and intervene, and that person has to be more superior than the other two. So Lord Brahma comes in there and he tells Priyavarta to actually get married and increase the population of the planet. And Narad, accepting the superior position of Brahma, does not resent about that. He accepts it as that, and so does Priyavarta. The main thing is that when you have a instruction that is given by somebody who is more superior, which might not be what you want to do, but if you follow that, then you are protected. So even though Priyavarta got married, he had children, I think he had 10 children, he had 2 wives, and then he had another 3 children from the other 2 wives. But he was always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, because that's where he has surrendered. So this is the lesson we have to learn. You know, we don't have to think that you can only go back to Godhead as a sannyasi or as a brahmachari. We can actually be in any situation and be transcendental. If you look at it, most of the devotees, you know, at some point were married. Even our parampara, if you're looking back, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, Srila Prabhupada was also married. But that does not mean that there were not devotees at any one point in time, at any one point. So if you have the tendency to actually enjoy material life, to get something out of this material life, so that's the ashram where you can actually do it. But we should always realize that, you know, they say there's 3 types of people, but I call them 4 types of people in this world. One is, you don't have to tell them anything, you know, and they understand and they follow the instructions. The other one, you tell them, they listen to it, they get it, and they follow the instructions. Third one, they have to do it. So they have to practically do it, you know, and then get the lesson. And the fourth one, it doesn't matter how much you tell them, they never get it, you know. So those, when you are a brahmachari And this is, who is a brahmachari? You know? If you want to actually think of a brahmachari life, then at a young age you have to be in a gurukul. Otherwise, you know, the way we are studying from home and going to school, that's not brahmachari. That's more like a sudra life. You know? That's not a brahma. You know? Brahmas are those, you know, the brahmacharis are those who in their younger life leave their home and stay in the school under the guidance of the spiritual master, of a teacher, who teaches you all about the different ashrams and things like that. So those who get it, those who understand it, that if I get in, sense gratification is not the way to go. The only way to actually get out of this material world is to actually surrender fully to Krishna consciousness. And then they know that if I'm going to get married, then we're going to get entangled into all these things. Right? So, with detachment to material stuff and attachment to Krishna, doing devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, they actually make progress. So they don't get into that. Then those are others who understand it, the different situations, but they need to go through it. Right? And those are the ones who get married. But because they understand the situation, they are lead a life in such a way that there's a minimum of their sense gratification, but it's more like trying to get a experience and more detachment that, you know, so that at the end of the life they can take vanapras at least, or sannyas, to get out of this material world. Priyavarta was in the first category, but the Lord had higher purposes. Brahma had higher purposes. So even though he knew what was the best way for him, for the sake of the world, for the sake of fulfilling the desire of Brahma, he took that second thing. You know. So this is what we have to learn from this. We have to live our life in such a way that whether you are a grihastha or in any way, so that at the end of our life, we can actually live our body and in a Krishna conscious way, so that we don't have to come back here again. You know. The more things you do in your life, the more chances are that you can be entangled in that. You know. So towards the end of the life, at least when you get to around 50 years or four, you should start living a life in such a way that the attachment to Krishna increases, your life becomes more Krishna conscious. I was thinking, you know, what to talk about, you know, because it's talking about gurus, you know, and how do we follow this process? How do we actually remember Krishna at the end of the life, you know? And I was thinking, you know, what was Srila Prabhupada doing at this time, 55 years ago? So, let's read today. Today is the 13th of September. September 13th, today is 13th, right? Okay. Prabhupada noted in his diary, 32nd day of my journey, of his journey, cooked bhati khichdi. You know what bhati khichdi is? Bhati, B-A-T-I. So it's cooked.
Bengali preparation.
Probably some Bengali preparation. We should know that, you know. It appeared to be delicious. So I was able to take some food, because Prabhupada was not well when he was on the Jalgutta. You know. Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion Lord Sri Krishna. There is a Bengali poem made by me in this connection. So we are going to go to the Bengali poem. So it looks like on this particular day, 13th of September 1965, is the day Srila Prabhupada wrote that poem. You know, the famous poem, you know. The poem was a prayer to Lord Krishna, and it is filled with Prabhupada's devotional confidence in the mission that he had undertaken on behalf of his spiritual master. An English translation of the opening stanzas follows. See appendix for the complete Bengali verses with English translation. I emphatically say to you, O brother, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So this is the secret.
The good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So, what does that mean? We cannot serve Krishna directly. The only person who can serve Krishna fully to his satisfaction is Radharani. We all can only assist in some way or other in Radharani's service to Krishna. And how do we do it? By serving his devotees. Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, so see, this is what Prabhupada is writing. Lord Chaitanya, the son of Madhasachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great sentient spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns and villages on the earth, from all the ocean seas, rivers and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of the Lord. So here Srila Prabhupada, even though he is the one, he is the Acharya who actually brought this prophecy that the holy name of the Lord will spread all over the world, he gives full credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, his spiritual master. Because he says, only by his great desire, only by his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout the all countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns and villages on the earth, even from the ocean, seas, rivers and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of the Lord. This happened before Srila Prabhupada set his foot in years. He had already predicted that this is going to happen. He had complete faith in the words of the scriptures. He had complete faith in the word of his spiritual master. He knew what it was, service was. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will conquer all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. So what is the desire of the Vaishnava? Vaishnava wants everyone to be liberated. That's the desire for Vaishnava. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So if you want to fulfill the desire of Prabhupada, if you want to help in the mission of Prabhupada, then you should do the same thing. How we can help everybody get out of this material world? It doesn't mean that you have to do what Prabhupada did. You have to write books, you have to give big classes and things like that. The movement, in this movement, there's many ways of doing that. You can distribute Prabhupada's book, you can distribute prasada. At this time, there's a lot of need for devotee care. A lot of devotees are suffering. You know, just giving them a call, asking them how they are doing, if they can help them, you know, give them some knowledge, you know. You know, a lot of devotees, rather than shutting them off. Somebody says something nasty and says, okay, you're not part of this group anymore. That's not the mood. The mood should be there. We should help. We should get to the level where they are and try to help them. You know. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, oh Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I become worthy. For you are the wisest and the most experienced of all. So here, Srila Prabhupada tells us the mood we should do in service. Is humility. He said, I'm most fallen and insignificant. The truth is that what is our capacity? How big are we? If we take the tip of our hair and divide it into 10,000 parts, that's what we are. Just so minute. And we think we can do anything. A drop of water, if somebody is thirsty and you give them one drop of water, will they be satisfied? But when we combine with lots of other drops of water, then you can have a glass of water and then quenches your thirst. So together, or individually, we can't do anything. But when we become part of a whole system, we become part of a whole parampara. Right? When you become part of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, then our potency increases. Then we are able to preach this message to the Lord. On our own, we cannot do it. And this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. It is there, he says that it is only by the desire and the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj that he is able to do whatever he is. And he predicted it beforehand. It is not that it was going to. It happened then, he said it. He said it that this is going to happen. He had so much faith in the words of the ritual master. Today, the remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire association so much. O Lord Krishna, expect for you there is no means of success. So, if you surrender to Krishna and accept that He is the one who is doing everything, and you put your faith in Him, put in your words in Him, and keep surrender in a way that Krishna, use me in whatever way you like to use me. In the same straightforward factual manner in which he had noted the date, so this is a commentary, the weather, his state of health, he now describes his health or dependence on his companion Lord Krishna, and his absorption in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. He described the relationship between spiritual master and the disciple. And he praised his own spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Garanga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. He plainly stated that his spiritual master had ordered him to accomplish his mission of all world Krishna consciousness. And feeling unworthy, he prayed to Lord Krishna for strength. The last verse gives an unexpected, confidential glimpse into Srila Prabhupada's direct relationship with Lord Krishna. Prabhupada called on Krishna as his dear friend and longed for the joy of again wandering the fields of Braj. This memory of Krishna, he wrote, came because of a great desire to serve the Lord. Externally, Srila Prabhupada was experienced great inconvenience because before that he already had two heart attacks. He had so much seasickness, you know. So externally, Srila Prabhupada was experiencing great inconveniences. He had been aboard ship for a month and had suffered heart attacks and repeated seasickness. Moreover, even if he were to recover from these difficulties, his arrival in America would undoubtedly bring many more difficulties. But remembering the desire of his spiritual master, taking strength from his reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita and revealing his mind in his prayers to Lord Krishna, Prabhupada remained confident that he will be able to accomplish the desire of the Lord. So this is the legacy that Srila Prabhupada had passed us, you know, and this is what we, as his disciples, as his followers, we have to do that. So this is the Bengali poem, but instead of reading the Bengali, we're going to read the English version of it, and we'll try to see the mood of Prabhupada, what he was thinking at that time. I only can pray to Prabhupada to reveal his mind through me, you know, so that he can actually enlighten us what he was thinking at that time. I have no idea. I'm not qualified to understand, but let's see what Krishna wants. So he says, verse 1, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. So this is the mood, you know. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. You know, people go to Vrindavan to leave their body. Because once you live in Vrindavan, your body in Vrindavan, you don't come back. Now Prabhupada left at an advanced age of 70 years. You know, this is way past in the retirement age. To come to a West world, in the Western world. And he says, you know, why did you bring me? Yeah, he's questioning Krishna. You have something to do. So use me in whatever way you want. This is the mood we should actually accept, you know, when we actually surrender to our spiritual master. Because spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj was explaining about the relationship between the spiritual master and the guru. And he was saying that, on my own, I'm nothing. I'm just an individual soul. But as a spiritual master, I am not ordinary. Because I am a representative of Lord Nityananda. So, Prabhupada is a representative of Lord Krishna. More of Radha and Krishna. Because he is the one who brought Radha Rani to all over the world. And of Gaur Nitai. So he says, whatever you can do whatever you like with me. Right? But I can guess that you have some business here, otherwise why would you call me to this demonic place? So they say India is a tapobhumi, right? It's a place of mode of goodness. There you can see everything as it is. I mean, when I went to Puri a couple of years ago in 2018, and we were going to the beach, you know, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go for his swim, right? And I thought I could see the ocean, I could hear the ocean, and I thought I'll just go past. But as soon as I took a few steps closer to it, somebody saw me, said, "Don't go there. No, that's not the way." Then I looked up over there, and I could see, you know, there's so many bodies being cremated there. You don't see this here. I could see the body, and it was not like it was covered with wood. There was not much wood. You can actually see the body. It was red, you know, burning. And I was thinking, you know, you don't see this. And most of the children who grow up here in the West, they have never seen a dead body being cremated either. They put it into the machine, they don't see how it is. But there you can see it, and it gives you that realization that one day we're going to go through the same thing, bring some detachment. So what is more important in our life? You know, we focus on things like that, you know. So this is, Prabhupada had left all this and come to this demonic place, you know. And what is here? It's all covered. It is all covered by illusion. Everything looks so nice, you know. You go to the houses, it's so nice, you know. You put one fish through it, it goes through it, you know. Because everything is, it's more like fake. In India, if I, even in Fiji, you know, we have these concrete walls, you know, because of all the cyclones and everything. India has something similar, you know. But here, everything so looks so nice. But is it nice? You know? And now, if, in this pandemic time, you know, so many people are suffering so much, so many mental problems and things like that are going away. You know? And what do we want? We want more time so we can actually do our sadhana. We want more free time to actually do all these things. But majority of the people, they can't actually do this. So Prabhupada is saying, you have brought me, you might have some, you have definitely have some business here, right? So that's why you brought me here. Now please use me in whatever way you want. Most of the population here is covered by nature's mode of ignorance and passion, and I do not know how they will be able to extend the transcendental message of Vasudeva, Lord Sri Krishna. So most of the population are in mode of ignorance and passion. So what does that mean? What does mode of ignorance mean? Mode of ignorance starts when we think that we are separate from Krishna. We want to enjoy separate from Krishna. We try to think we are God. So a nice analogy is like when a young child, right, he says, "I want to, Mom, I want the moon." So what does mother do? She puts a mirror in front of the sun. And in the mirror, the sun can see the reflection of the moon. And the sun thinks, okay, now I can grip the moon. And he tries to grip the moon, but he cannot. So when our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, when we have this desire, then what Krishna does, he puts you in his reflection. Just like the mother puts you in front of the mirror. So this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And here we are trying to actually do what Krishna does. Which basically means to enjoy, to be the controller. We want to be the controller, we want to be God. And that's why there was a landlord. He's the landlord, you know, my house, my car. But what do we own? Nothing. Everything is illusion. Everything is temporary, you know. So many people going to lose their houses after this, you know. So many people going to lose their business. So many people going to lose their wealth after this pandemic going to happen. Did we think about a year ago that we're going to go through the same thing? Anything like this would ever happen? The whole world will shut down? Which basically shows that we have no control. Everything in this material world is temporary. You know, we had it one day, and then next day it's all gone. So, We have to understand this. And how do we understand this? By taking shelter of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. How do we do that? By reading his books. By preaching, you know, spreading his, giving his books to other devotees, other people, you know, so that we can fulfill the desire of a pure devotee. In verse 4, Prabhupada, but I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. There is no greater mystic than Krishna. He could lift Govardhan Hill on his left hand, you know, on his little pinky finger for 7 days. And during that period, no food, no sleep, nothing. Right? He's such a big mystic. Nobody is more. But that's nothing. That's just a planet on this planet, a hill on this. As his expansion, Balram, Sheshnag, right? He carries all these planets. And those planets seem just like mustard seeds on his head. And there's not one planet, there's hundreds and thousands of those planets, millions of planets in there. Right? So what is impossible for him? But we have to believe in this, that Krishna can do anything. We have to believe that Krishna will take us back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Because nothing is impossible for him. If you don't believe him, then Krishna will say, why should I take him? He doesn't have faith in him. But if you know that Krishna will, he will. Therefore, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I can be able to convince them about your message. So this is the prayer of Srila Prabhupada, you know. Use me, Prabhupada said, you know. Please empower me so that I can actually spread your message to all of the world. All living entities has come under the control of your illusory energy. By your will, and therefore if you like, by your will, they can be released from the clutches of illusion. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, of Krishna. He can actually take you out of this material world anytime he wants. They say that all those people who died in during the war of Mahabharata, they all went back to Godhead. Putna, she was a demon. She wanted to kill Krishna. Yet Krishna liberated her. He gave her the same position as Mother Yashoda. Right? Because Krishna does not see the bad things. You know, when you see some bad quality in a person, you know, you say, oh, this person is so bad, you know, this person did these things. What you are actually seeing is what is in you. You are seeing your reflection. You know, that's what you are seeing. Right? And when you see something, then you should think, okay, this is in me, that's why I can see. This is why pure devotees don't see bad things in other people, because they don't have bad things in people. When Prabhupada was there, when he came initially to preach in the Western world, you know, he what kind of people he was dealing with? You know, he made those hippies happy, you know. And he asked somebody, one of the interviewers asked Prabhupada, you know, what's going to happen if everybody in the world, you know, going to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, there won't be any more hippies here, you know. Everyone will become happy, you know. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the word of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnations, and if they receive them in a submissive and oral, reception repeatedly, then they can be able to understand your message. So, this is Prabhupada's main legacy. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam is your incarnation. And if you receive them in submissive and oral reception, so this is our qualification. And it has to be done repeatedly. Then you'll be able to understand the message. So to understand Krishna, you submissively receive this instruction, but it has to be done in a repeated way. And Prabhupada had already done this. Right? Every day we are having Bhagavatam classes. You know? Prabhupada did not only tell that this is what gonna, how you can actually get out of this. Prabhupada had put up a system in here or how it will be done. All you have to do is follow his instructions, you know. Listen to the Bhagavatam class, read Bhagavatam class in a Bhagavatam class. You understand Krishna. You understand the message that he is giving. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verse 17 through 21, it is said, "For anyone who gives oral reception to the always auspicious transcendental messages about you by hearing and chanting, you become a special well-wisher, and thus remaining within his heart, you clear all inauspicious understanding." In other words, this is the way to do it. By understanding the message of Krishna, by hearing about it, by chanting about him, you know. So there are two personalities there. Sukadeva Goswami spoke and Parikshit Maharaj had. So either you hear, either you chant, or you hear. And because Krishna is within our heart, he is going to get rid of all this misunderstanding, inauspicious understanding. When such inauspicious understanding is almost cleared up, a person realizes the importance of devotional service. In that stage of understanding, the influence of mode of ignorance and patience becomes almost nil, and the resultant action of patience and ignorance can no more attack the heart. Thus it becomes joyful, being situated in the platform of goodness. So, as Prabhupada said earlier, that in the Western world, everybody is in a mode of ignorance and patience. We have to go above that. We have to come to the mode of goodness. But mode of goodness does not mean that you have achieved everything. The most important thing is that in the mode of goodness, you can practice devotional service. But devotional service is so powerful that it doesn't matter in what stage you are, you can do devotional service. You can chant in any stage, you know, when people are doing kirtan, you know, when you do harinam in the streets, you know, there are other people who are there, might be drunkards who are in mode of ignorance, and they join the kirtan, you know, right? They have made great advancement, they have just sang the Krishna's name, they like the devotees, they sing with them, you know. When by the danger of devotional service, it has become jubilant, due to awakening of modes of goodness, he becomes liberated from material contamination and is able to understand the science of God. In this stage of liberation, all misgivings in the heart or the bondage of material works becomes cut to pieces, and the bias, science of God, is elevated from all sorts of doubts. At this stage, the result of past activities become vanquished, and because of his realization of the Supreme Lord. So, we have to get rid of everything that we have done. So what are those things we have done? It's not only the sinful activities, not only the impious ones. You also have to get rid of the pious ones. Right? And that's what bhakti does. Because what does is that pious thing means? Piety means you have to come back again to this material world to actually enjoy them. Sinful also means coming back, but sinful means suffering. But even when you come back to enjoy this pious activities, you end up doing activities. And what does these activities does? Creates more activities, more karma. More karma means when you exhaust all that. For example, you are in mode of goodness. So you have all these facilities to enjoy. And then after a while, you forget about Krishna. And then what you do? You fall back. You go into mode of ignorance. Once you get tired of ignorance because there's so much suffering there, then you want to do activity. Then you go into mode of good passion and you're doing activities, right? And then you realize that it doesn't matter how hard I work, nothing is coming. Then you said, okay, let's think about God. Then you go into mode of goodness. And then the cycle continues, comes back and forth and like that, you know. So even when the pious activities are there, it is not good for you. Eventually you have to get rid of everything. And the only thing that can do this is devotional service. This is the process of becoming liberated from the influence of the mode of ignorance and passion. And thus they have become free from all inauspicious things accumulated in the heart. So Srila Prabhupada says that by listening about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, associating with the devotees, because when you are in Sadhu Sangha, this is what basically happens, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, you listen about katha of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, and this is what's most important. 15, because I am very unfortunate, unqualified and most fallen, I am therefore seeking your benediction so that I may be able to convince them about this Krishna consciousness. So as I was saying earlier, now we are very minute, we are so small, right? We are unqualified, we are unfortunate. Srila Prabhupada is saying this. The greatest acharya, you know, one who did more than what anybody could do, or did, not could do. Srila Prabhupada said Bhakti Vinod Thakur could have liberated the entire, but he did not do. He has left something. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted 550 years ago that somebody is going to come and spread his name. That particular person is Srila Prabhupada. You know. And some of us are lucky to be his disciples, to take his remnants, you know, to be in his association. No. And then some are more fortunate because they are his great disciples, you know. And I had the relationship between grandchildren and grandparents are stronger than that between father and children. So we are very, very fortunate that we are able to actually be in association, be of some service to Srila Prabhupada and his movement, to fulfill his desire. Somehow or other you have brought me here to speak about you. Now it is up to you to make me a success or a failure, as you like. So this is the mood, you know. It's not that Prabhupada is saying, you brought me here, you make me successful. He says, no, whatever you want to do, you know, you can make me successful or you can make me a failure. I'm yours, you use me whatever way you like. And you can see that Prabhupada, Krishna does that with his pure devotees like that. Pandavas had to go through so many things, you know. They lost everything, but they never lost faith in Krishna. They always had faith in Krishna. And because they were so qualified, Krishna could use them in that way. He could use them in any way to actually pass us the message. You know? And when you are surrendered like that and tell Krishna, use me in whatever way you like, you know, then Krishna will use you. You know? You are the Lord of the whole creation. So if you like, you can make my power to speak suitable so that they can understand. Now, I was thinking about this when I was reading this, you know. This is the mood we should take before we give in classes, you know. What ability do we have? What knowledge we have? What understanding do we have? But if you pray to Krishna, please Krishna, use me in whatever way you like, you know. We have to become a puppet. And Krishna becomes the puppet, yeah. Right, so puppet, they sometimes the puppet makes them laugh, sometimes they make them cry, they make different expression and things like that. And sometimes they just throw them on the ground, you know, they step on them, right. So we have to become like that. We have to become like a doll in the hand of a child. So when you have a little child, you give them a doll, you know. When they go to bed, they put them together to them, they put a blanket on them, they give them a nice pillow, you know. Give them a hug and they sleep like that. And when they get upset, they throw them on the floor and they stand by them. So this is the mood we have to go to Krishna. You can do whatever you want with me. I'm yours. You know? And if you want to use me in a particular way, use me. If you don't want to, you know, you want to stand by me, you can actually do that too, you know. By your personal mercy, only my words might become transcendently pure. And I am sure that when such a transcendental management penetrates their heart, certainly they will be enlightened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. So this is the prediction and this is what has happened. You know, 10,000 plus disciples all over the world. And those disciples of Prabhupada, they were more surrendered than we have devotees now. They gave in everything, you know. You speak to the devotees at that time, you know. They had no fear. All they wanted to do is distribute Prabhupada's book, you know, build these temples, raise, you know, you talk to Prabhupada, you know. You know how much money they raised, you know. We are the easy ones. We have got our temple, we have got the nice, beautiful deities, you know. We don't go to jail, you know, just because we are chanting in the street. They have done all the hard work. You know, and every time we find a disciple of Prabhupada, you know, they have done the hard, we should actually appreciate and thank them for what they have done. You know, but it doesn't stop there. You know, They had that duty to do. Our job is to take this away. People are complaining that they can't come to the temple, they can't do devotional service. You know, we are few fortunate ones, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by mercy of Srila Gurudev, you know, Gaurinitai, Radha Vallabh, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, that we are able to come once in a while to the temple. There are more fortunate devotees who can come on a daily basis, you know. Even they are more fortunate who live here and they can do it, you know. But that doesn't mean that wherever you are, you can't do service. I was just talking to Param Brahma Prabhu the other day, you know. Mahalakshmi Mataji, I've taken a few Bhagavatam sets to her. She has sold 23, this is only, so it might be more now, 23 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam during the pandemic. So who said you can't do book distribution? If you are determined, if you surrender to Krishna, you pray to Prabhupada, Prabhupada will find ways of those people who are surrendered to do it. So you have to become an instrument in their hand. I'm just a puppet in your hand. That's the mode. You have brought me here and now you can make me dance as you like. Right? That's the mood we have to take. You know, this is the mood we have to actually go and actually preach. Hey Krishna, hey Srila Prabhupada, hey Srila Gurudev, use me in whatever way you want. You know, you can make my word powerful so that I can understand. You know, I can pass it, impart this message, you know. And I pray the same thing, you know, whatever I've said today, you know, at this time, when Srila Prabhupada actually struggled, you know, with so much problem, you know, heart attack and everything, and when he prayed to Krishna, and he saw in his dream that Krishna was actually rowing the boat. And the captain and his wife who were on the ship, she said, this is the calmest crossing we have done. So Krishna is all-powerful. For his devotee, he made the whole ocean calm, so that Prabhupada does not have to suffer anymore. But that's the mood, you know. This is what it shows, that how determined Srila Prabhupada was, you know. Most people like us, we have one heart attack, we'll go back home, you know. Prabhupada had multiple heart attacks, going with, I think, about $7 worth of 40 rupees that he couldn't even use in America. And just a letter of somebody who can, where he can stay, right? And the most important thing was Srimad Bhagavatam and faith. In the words of his spiritual master Krishna, and let's see what he has achieved. So don't make excuses, you know. Don't live in ignorance. Ignorance means living in the past. You know, whatever has happened, you know. Right? Patience means living in the future. You must too much focus about future, you know. Who would have known what gonna happen, you know, 1 year ago? And everything gonna change now. We have to live in the moment. We have to live in the mode of goodness, because that's what it means. King Bharat, you know, he was a pure devotee. He was at the stage of bhava, right? Which means he's almost at the stage of prema. But what happened? Last moment, he was thinking about the deer, and he has to come back as a deer. Now we have to have faith that Krishna says that when you actually do your service, whatever you lack, I'm gonna fulfill it. You know, this is an example that if you're not careful, this can happen to us. But at the same time, we have to have faith in Krishna that he gonna actually help us cross this ocean of material world in the end, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru. He ends the whole thing. The most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaljuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, dated 18th September 1965. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Purandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jai.
Okay, so any comments, any questions, any more enlightenment you can put onto those? Because this is a special time, you know. This is when Srila Prabhupada made this big sacrifice. It's a nice time to glorify Srila Prabhupada, you know.
Yeah, I just want to say a few words. And since you brought it up, Srila Prabhupada, you know, like you said, he was always extremely humble.
Yeah.
Even though you know, so much accomplishment. Srila Prabhupada always remained giving credit to his Guru Maharaj and Krishna. And actually Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, the way to approach him is through the spiritual master, humble approach and submissive inquiry. And sometimes we have this attitude, you know, like I can do it, I'm there. But this Prabhupada, if you read through Prabhupada's books, all his lectures, they listen to, he never even made that kind of comment. And like I am, he's always giving credit to Krishna. So that really, this is the attitude of a devotee. And actually, it's a miracle, it's a mystery when we, in that attitude, everything just happens. Just, so Krishna actually teaches us, if we are in that attitude, everything just becomes perfect because Krishna intervenes. When you think you are, everything goes messy. Just so simple, you allow Krishna to be part of in your service. Yeah. That's actually the process of devotional service. Devotional service is devotion. Mm-hmm. Giving Krishna his tour. Mm-hmm. And then everything just perfect. Why do they do perfectly? Because they are always giving Krishna the credit. Yeah. Just want to say that.
Yeah.
It was a very nice topic. Thank you.
Actually, what Prabhu is saying is, just this thought came to my mind, you know. When you go and worship Mother Ganges or Mother Yamuna, you know, what do we do? How do we worship, you know? We take the water in our hand and we go forward to that, you know. So the same thing, you know. Krishna is using us. Whatever he's doing, it's all his energy, it's all his ability, you know. He's just using us to do it, you know. You know, this body belongs to Krishna, you know. The power to speak belongs to Krishna, you know. My ability to, the knowledge comes from Krishna. He gives remembrance, he's taking the energy, he's forgetfulness, you know. So all we are doing is, it's all his mercy, you know. And if you understand that, and you give credit to Krishna, then we realize our insignificant for the position. But then, Krishna's greatness that he has used us, you know. That's all we can pray for. Anybody else? Any, Prabhuji, any comments? Bhagavato? Okay, Gonitai Kija, Shishirada Balabi Kija, Anabalda Subata Kija, Nandrasim Bhagavatam Kija, Vanchakal Pataru Bhaisa, Pripa Sindhu Vija, Patita Namba, Vaishnavi Udamanama, Shila Prabhupada Kija.